Kim, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here on WGN. We're through in 298-1-7200. You know that. You can call anytime you want. You can text us. Patrick McDonald is here making another return visit. Patrick is film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide over at Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com. All the information's there. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Wonderful to see you too, Bill Leff.
You wanted to start and mention Wendy as well. It's nice to see her too.
Yes.
It's all right, Patrick. Whatever. I don't care.
You can't leave Wendy out of that.
She's a local treasure.
Yes, she is a local treasure. You're a local
Every
treasure.
Every person who comes by waves.
Yep.
Because they want to see the legend
That's in person.
All right, get to the point. What are you going to talk about today? But thank you.
You had kind of an interesting question that you wanted to ask us. Well, it started off air, but now we're on air, so let's
I saw this on Facebook, and it really was a dilemma for me for a while. I had to really think about it. Would you rather drive the 1966 vintage Batmobile from the series or the Mach 5 from Speed Racer?
Those are without a doubt two of the coolest cars in TV history. I bet you and I differ on our answers, Wendy. Which of the two would you rather? You're given one of the cars and you can just drive it. It becomes your go-to vehicle. Which one would it be?
I got to go Mach 5. Because if I don't trust myself with the Batmobile because I would be, with road rage, I would be able to take people out.
Right.
And I don't trust myself.
Right. Now, you realize if you get the Mach 5, you're also going to get Spritel and Chim Chim in the trunk, right?
I'm cool
They're
with
always
that.
Hiding in the trunk.
I'm fine with that. Speed.
They're always back there. I would go Batmobile.
Yeah, same here.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's the coolest car ever been.
Not even a question.
Yeah.
I love the Mach 5, though, and it has those things where they can leap over traffic, you know?
Right.
Which I believe were like a lift or something inside.
You'll have to wear tights, both of you.
Speed found out.
We don't have to. We choose to.
You won't fit in it with just regular pants.
There's not enough leg room with regular pants.
My favorite thing with Speed Racer is when he'd roll on the ground with the machine gun and fire away.
Because, I would do
that.
The
Japanese had no...
Right.
There
was
no
a lot
sensor.
Of grunting. When you drive the Mach 5,
yes.
They must constantly go, wah, wah, wah. There's a lot of grunting and weird noises. There's an investment company near me in Evanston. I noticed this yesterday that for reasons I don't understand, but I'm fine with it, they have purchased a car that is exactly like the sheriff's vehicle from the Andy Griffith Show. It's that kind of black and white squad car, and it says property of Mayberry on the star. I don't know why they have it, but that's their vehicle.
Well, you know, Matchbox put out a number of vintage vehicles, and one of them was the Mayberry police car.
Did they really?
Apparently somebody took that and made it their own.
A great question.
Yes, it
That's
is.
A great question.
It's so a moral dilemma.
And can you think of another car throughout history? I know a lot of people
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Herbie the Love Bug.
The Munster Mobile.
The Munster Mobile would be cool. Several different James Bond cars wouldn't be terrible
those
to own.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
The Monkey Mobile.
The Monkey Mobile.
That'd be fun.
Almost all of these are George Barris creations.
Exactly, yes.
Nearly every one of these.
Amazing. What a run.
A good question. All right, you just took part in the Chicago Critics Film Festival.
Well,
it starts
tomorrow, yes.
But you're a part of it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, as a member of the Chicago Film Critics Association, I will be there to press the flesh, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins tomorrow, Friday, May 12th. It's sold out, the little hours, with the live presentation from Aubrey Plaza and Kate Micucci from...
both very funny women.
Yes,
both.
Both. And, of course, Kate is in The Big Bang Theory is huge. And
she's also in your favorite name of a group of all time, and that's Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, I love that.
She's half of that song duo.
Yeah, so some of the highlights include The Hero, which will be on Sunday at 7 p.m., I have to mention Dog Years because I saw it at Tribeca, the Burt Reynolds older movie star one time around the track. He does some interaction with his old movies.
He's essentially a version of himself in this movie,
yes,
right, Burt Reynolds?
Vic Edwards. But Adam Rifkin, the director, will be there for that. And the closing night film is Ghost Story, which was one of the hottest ones out of Sundance. So.
Ghost Story has nothing to do with the old film
Story. It's different... Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara and a kind of hipster Ghost Story. So Chicago Critics Film Festival.com. You can buy your tickets. Don't forget the shorts program with my colleague Colin Suter, who program those, and that's Saturday and Sunday.
Why were Aubrey Plaza and Kate Micucci chosen as the front and center stars for this? Any particular reason? Are they in a movie?
Yes, they're in The Little Hours, which opens tomorrow, yes. And they're going to make an appearance on behalf of the film.
All right, so, that makes sense.
Yes.
And again, it's not open to the public because it's sold out, but normally if it wasn't sold out, the public would be allowed to, to view these films, right?
Yes, and we'll be going on all week from the 12th to the 18th, so just check out that website, and you can see some of the hottest films from the first quarter of this year at the festival.
Right. And register on their website so you don't miss out on the party next year.
Well, there you go.
Good idea.
That makes
Thank
sense.
Thank you. Thank you for that plug.
Let's talk about this a little bit. Every year there's a handful of movies, sometimes more but not usually, that are considered to be faith-based films. These
right.
are films that are... They're family films, and a lot of them have a religious bend to them, right?
Exactly. And, you know, these filmmakers saw an opportunity to tap into a market that's very big. And but recently they have said they do not want to be considered in that category anymore. They want to just be movies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be faith-based movies. But I think if it comes from particular production houses like PureFlix, I think if you're any kind of, you know, observer of the scene, you're going to describe them as such.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you just can't help it, you know. And I feel like in a lot of these faith-based movies, there I go, is that it's kind of shoehorned in rather than creating a natural flow with, you know, the Christian religion there.
And some people are going to stay away from it when they hear it, but some people are going to jump on board because of it. It's like, you know, some of the rockers who can't make it in the real world of rock and roll, they turn into Christian rock. I mean, I think you should be able to know up front what you're getting.
Exactly. And their argument is that faith is weaved into our society, so why should we categorize something as faith-based when it exists in an organic sense? But if you see these movies...
They're different.
They're
very different.
Yeah.
They are different.
And not bad, just,
no.
you know...
I like The Shack. The Shack was good for what it was, you know. I mean,
is that the movie that couldn't hit a free throw?
Halo.
So who are they petitioning to not refer to these as faith-based films? Is it film critics like yourself?
Yes,
is that
I think yeah? in the general film public. They're looking to really, you know, maximize. I think they're taking profits over the Lord, quite frankly.
Oh. How about that? Interesting. So when you get some sort of an edict like this, what's your first move? Is it to just defend it and go, no, I'm going to continue to call these faith-based films? Or
well,
do you look at it realistically or what?
I try to be objective, you know.
Yeah.
But I will call it if I feel that it's been shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And there's a I don't know, an atmosphere with these films that says there's something strange going on here, you know. But... You know, make better movies is my credo there. You know, The Shack.
What is The Shack? I'm sorry, you keep saying it. Shaquille O'Neal's not in it, is he?
No. The Shack was when a man suffers a tremendously horrible tragedy, and the Lord, God, sends him a note and says, meet me at The Shack.
Right.
And he meets both God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
At the Shack.
Yes. Now, why?
The Shake Shack?
No, not the Shake Shack one. It's just the Shack. But this, with so much, everything
that
you just described is religious. So
yes.
You would almost have to mention.
Yes. I mean.
That's part of the plot.
Well,
right?
and
would you call like Jesus Christ Superstar faith-based?
No.
It is.
But I wouldn't call
God
it
Godspell?
No. Those are musicals.
Miss Congeniality too. Yes, maybe.
What about the Ten Commandments?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, seriously.
So there you go.
Those are stories that are religious stories. But
yes. But we didn't have that category. You know, there wasn't a category back then when those three movies were made.
Right.
They were offered.
And you could tell by the name, pretty much.
Yes.
Godspell, Jesus Christ Superstar, Ten Commandments.
You were going to get some religion involved.
Exactly.
But in many of these cases, not all, but in many of them, whatever the storyline is, it's enhanced by something miraculous.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And what I said in the review of The Shack was simply that they focus more on that spiritual basis than they did making a movie.
Right.
And I think This is what these faith-based production houses have to worry about. They have to worry about making a good movie where they're not shoehorning it in,
sure,
or thinking about the audience, and that's the key.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Patrick McDonald is here, and he's making sense for a change. We've never seen this side of him. He's a film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, the chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com.
We're starting in July.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
Please.
Right around the corner.
Yep.
All right, a break and then more show. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. We'll continue our discussion with Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, in just a second. But first, I have in my hand a pair of tickets to the PowerShares Tennis Series. It's coming up this upcoming Wednesday night, May 17th. You can see legendary tennis icons Andy Roddick, John McEnroe, Jim Courier, and Wendy's favorite Mark Philippoussis all competing in a one-set semifinals and then a championship match. Also, the Chicago Media All-Stars are playing a big tennis match right before your big guys. That's a 5:15 start. You win a pair of tickets. You can see both matches. Just be caller number 10 right now at 312-981-7200. Again, caller 10 at 312-981-7200 and go see some great tennis.
And now back to Patrick McDonald. All right, what have we not discussed yet? We have five minutes.
We're going to talk about the openings this weekend. And first, Joanne Schultes McDonald, happy Mother's Day. Okay.
That's instead of a card?
No, I have the card in my pocket. I'm
just making sure.
Drop it off.
All right.
Okay. Snatched with
this
Amy.
Looks very funny.
Yes, it is very funny.
Amy and Goldie, correct?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Hilarious. Really hilarious.
Really.
Paul Feige is on the executive team. He knows how to do these movies.
Normally a director.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Jonathan Levine actually directs this one, but he knows to put people in realistic situations and let them riff on it. And this is what Amy Schumer does best. I think this is better than Trainwreck.
Really?
Wow. For her type of personality.
Yeah.
You'll notice it when you go. 4 out of 5 from here.
And Goldie Hawn isn't in enough movies for my money. Yeah. I've enjoyed her forever. So a great pairing as a mother and daughter.
Yes, and this is more of a character role for Goldie. She's not really dominating. It's Amy who dominates, but still, it's great to see her on screen again.
Right.
And when she's dancing at the end, she looks exactly like she did in the 60s.
Really?
I swear.
How about that?
Except, you know, in the other parts.
Did they computer generate her like they did Kurt Russell for Guardians? Which I saw, by the way, and loved.
Oh, great.
I really did.
Great. I'm glad you liked it.
I really enjoyed it.
Wasn't he hot in the beginning? I mean, I'm a dude, but I thought he was hot.
Warm in here.
All right.
Congratulations to Kelly from Crystal Lake. She will be watching you play tennis, Bill.
Excellent. Congrats, great. Kelly.
And who will you be playing against, Bill?
Well, it's myself and Kelly Krull, and we'll be playing against Brooke Weisbrod and Mark Harmon.
Very good. Mark Harmon, the quarterback?
No, Mark Harmon works here at the WGN Sports Department.
Sorry.
All right. What about Mark. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword?
Yes, 3 out of 5 for this. This is, you remember The Sword and the Stone, the
loved
Disney
it.
Thing? This is basically
the
guy,
Knights of the Round Table.
Guy Ritchie, live-action remake. And ever since Monty Python did it, I have trouble. Especially when they say Camelot.
Right.
Camelot, so they are models. Shut up. We dance when we are able.
Yes. All right.
I
so
like
good.
To use the Promenade.
Wow. That was beautiful, Patrick. I teared up.
Thank you.
All right. So you're one of the only critics liking this movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The parts that. I didn't like the action sequences because they were so dreary and so long. But, you know, the parts that were outside it, I like the Arthurian legend.
Yeah.
And I like a retelling of it. So, 3 out of 5. I mean, that's a like, not a love.
Yeah. All right. What about Chuck? Is that based on the old TV show?
Chuck Webner, the Bayonne bleeder.
Oh, is that what that
is?
Oh,
I don't know what you're speaking of.
Okay, remember the guy in the 70s who fought Muhammad Ali 15 rounds, Chuck Webner. He was a guy who always bled in the ring.
Yeah, right.
So Bayonne is his hometown of Bayonne, New Jersey, and he was the bleeder, the Bayonne bleeder. The original title was The Bleeder, but they decided to go with
off-putting.
Chuck.
Yeah. All right, so this is a drama on his life.
Yes, Liev Schreiber plays him, which is an interesting casting
choice.
Oh,
it is?
What?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's, you know, ultimate shape. He looks great. He looks great in the ring. The guy that got to play Muhammad Ali.
I was thinking Lee Vilmun. I'm sorry. That's why I reacted. I'm like, wow.
That's some
great acting.
She's a good actress, but I don't think she could play a professional fighter. I believe Liev Schreiber is a little old to play this role, isn't he?
Yeah, he is slightly older, but he appropriates himself, you know, and he's able to play the downturn pretty well because, you know.
He doesn't smile much.
No, he does.
You don't see a whole lot of photos of, you know, but, Schreiber.
It's a good role for him, though.
Elizabeth Moss Elizabeth Moss and Naomi Watts plays wife one and two. Not bad. Jim Gaffigan is in it.
Playing
a character role, and he's amazing. He plays his best friend John as they go on a coke fueled rage during the 70s disco era.
Liv Ullmann
plays.
That's why my reaction was so crazy. I'm like, what?
That's acting.
Sorry. All right,
they should
be
in a movie together, Liv Ullmann and Liev Schreiber, called Live and Let Liev. Wouldn't that be a great movie? I wish they would make that movie. All right, so
I also recommend The Lovers, 4 out of 5, with Deborah Winger and Tracy Letts.
Oh, our, Chicago's
our local,
own.
Our local.
Is
like
Liv
Deborah
Ullmann
Winger
in that?
Shut up, Bill.
No?
At least I confessed to my mistake.
I know you did. Well, it sounds like there's a lot to see.
Yes, there is. 5 new openings here in Chicago. So I didn't mention The Wall. That's 3.5 out of 5 about the Iraqi soldier stuck in a sniper war.
Wow.
Wow.
HollywoodChicago.com. That's how we find you.
Yep.
Patrick, thanks so much. It's Patrick McDonald, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.